and welcome to This Song, the podcast where artists talk about the songs that changed their lives and give us a glimpse into their creative process. I'm your host, Elizabeth McQueen, and in this episode of This Song, we'll be hearing from Paolo Duro. Paolo Duro is the brainchild of Austin artist Michael Winningham, an artist who's like been making music in Austin, Texas since the early 2000s. Full disclosure, I actually met him when he was in a band, the Glass Family, and they were on my brother-in-law's label, I Eat Records, back in the day. After the Glass Family broke up, Michael went on to form Gold Beach, which, another full disclosure, I rented them a 15-passenger van once. And recently, Michael moved on again, this time to Paolo Duro. So yeah, like, I've known Michael a long time, but I've never really talked in depth with him about music until very recently. He reached out to me to see if he could come talk for the podcast because Danger Mouse's 30th Century Records just released the first Paolo Duro single. Well, just like earlier this spring, and it's a split 7-inch with his song Darken the Glow on one side and a cover of the Suicide song Surrender on the other side. And like, both of these songs have these really far-reaching sonic landscapes that use synths and drum machines and guitars in ways that like you might not expect. And you can tell Michael thinks really expansively about music by listening to these songs. And the song that he chose to talk to me about, well, it's the kind of song that got him to start thinking in those like epic, vast terms. So here he is, Michael Winningham, aka Paolo Duro.
Like thinking about this and thinking about like, oh, okay, what point in my life do I really want to like kind of talk about music affecting me or a single song? And I finally hit on an Os Mutantes song, which was like a Brazilian tropicale band with a psychedelic pop kind of slant to them as well, called Amina Menina. Pois ela é minha. And there's just like this sea of influences in it that are very noticeable, but the combination I had never really heard. And I was like, oh, I'm listening to like, you know, like early's like Brit pop, but like with these crazy distorted guitars and this like psychedelic feeling. And then there's this great tropicale kind of acoustic guitar and rhythm section in it that's beautiful. And I just, the sum of all the influences really struck me in a way that I had never heard all of those elements come together, and they did it so fluidly. It was just a real kind of gateway song for me for so many reasons. Really big impact on me, and also how I write music. I was thinking, I can really step outside of some of my own influences and make more interesting combinations of sound and texture and narrative, and it's okay. It was kind of like being told by this other kind of culture that you can just. It's what you want it to be. The canvas is yours. Go claim it. Pois ela é minha menina. Eu sou o menino dela. I had moved to Austin in 1999, and I was just starting to go out and you know, to see music. And that evening, we were going to go see the Gourds play at Jovita's. Another kind of genre-busting band, I felt like. You know, at the time, they had a hit with, like, Snoop Dogg's Gin and Juice. And I'll be rolling down the street, smoking in hope, sipping on gin and juice, lay back. On my mind, on my money, and my money on my mind. And I was with my buddy Greg, and his older brother Jason picked us up. You know, avid music listeners, great taste. We were all going to the show together. And they put it on the car on the way over there. They had the music on so loud and for such a good reason. So I couldn't figure out who the artist was immediately. But the song hits like a ton of bricks from the beginning. And there's this crazy scream and this kind of stomping percussion, and then these just distorted guitars that rip through the beginning, but it's also so bubbly and poppy and pleasant to listen to. It's a beautiful track. Ela é minha menina. Eu sou o menino dela.
So were you writing music at the time? Were you playing out or
yeah.
Were you writing? Or?
Yeah, I was playing, actually, I was playing in a band called The Glass Family, which was on your brother-in-law's label,
yeah,
i.e.
totally.
Records. And
so The Glass Family was around in like the early 2000s?
Like, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, there was like two or three incarnations of The Glass Family. Family members came and went. By the fan, there's an empty glass.
Seconds last. This is just an afternoon. Another night of glow. Did you go out and start listening to it again after that? Like, did you fall
yeah.
down a hole with it? Or
yeah, I did. So at the time, some of those Os Muntaçe records were a little bit hard to find. And I was listening to music purely on a record player back then. No digital age. So I had to persuade my friend's older brother to burn a CD for me.
Ah, right.
And that's how I got it. And that's how I got the first self-titled record. I mean, then it opened up all kinds of worlds with Caetano Veloso and Gilberto Gil. These are guys that I wasn't really that familiar with at the time, but, you know, kind of in South America, kind of, you know, leading the musical kind of voice of protest. Só ponho bebop no meu samba quando o tio Sam pegar no tamborim. Quando ele pegar o pandeiro no zabumba. Quando ele entender que o samba não é rumba. And learning their stories and about their music too was all kinds of other doors being opened at the same time and really kind of diving into that.
Did you find that it changed the way that you wrote at that time? Like, was there a shift in how you were writing?
Yeah. What it made me was very confused about my vocabulary. You know, trying to describe really, you know, kind of an exposure to other music, other types of music, other sounds, and really trying to find the right vocabulary to share that with other people that I was writing music with at the same time was a little bit challenging. You know, it's like, the more complex your tastes get in music, the more you have to explain to other people that you're collaborating with, which is tricky. You know, you really need to know what's in your head, what you're hearing. You bring in a song and, you know, you're thinking that a guitar sounds a certain way or a piano sounds a certain way or the vocals are delivered a certain way. You need to be able to grab inside of that bag of influences and be able to communicate that.
Did it cause some issues in the band?
I'll say we broke up a couple of years after that.
I was going to say.
No, not any real issues. But I think that writing songs with a group of people has its challenges, and I think it does run its course after a little while.
When you're writing, I mean, is it that, are the sounds that fully formed in your head? Like, can you really, when you write a song, do you really have like a solid idea of what the guitar is going to sound like? And this is what we're going to do on the, you know, like.
I think that not all the sounds are, but I think that it's my responsibility, whether or not it's with a band or just with an engineer or a producer, to come in with two or three pieces that are pretty strong, not just an acoustic guitar. I think that you need to have something for a foundation for everybody to build off of. And those other sounds that come after that can be a lot of different things that are surprising to you, that kind of bring in that element of spontaneity, or they are a space where if you're playing with a guitar player or a synth player, that they can kind of surprise you happily with something. But as a songwriter, I think you need to come in with something that everybody can understand or latch onto and then put on top of or expand upon.
After the Glass Family broke up, then you went on to do Gold Beach, which was more of a song, like more of a solo project, but you had a collaborator. Right?
One collaborator. Yeah, just a good friend. And that's kind of where I decided that him and I, Tony Doherty and I, decided that we would make recordings, and we would learn more about the recording process itself, of just, you know, different techniques of engineering, and expand our vocabulary so we're not stuck feeling like we don't know how to make the changes that we want to make as we're recording. But it was kind of like everything was open. It was like, I don't know what kind of record it's going to be.
Yeah.
We're going to try out a lot of different stuff on this, and we'll see if it works or not.
That's a nice way to do it.
Yeah.
It's like a good freedom thing, which sounds like what you kind of heard in that Os. And I would say Mutantes because I know Spanish, but I don't know I don't know Portuguese. So like, is it Os
Mutantes.
Mutantes.
Okay.
I was like, Mutantes?
Right.
Mutantes. Okay. So, I mean, it sounds like what you heard in that was this, like, an openness and a freedom. And like you said, it can be whatever you want. And then in Gold Beach, was that an experiment and just...
It was getting there.
Making whatever you want?
Yeah, starting to get there. And I felt like they had that freedom, and they were expressing it really well. And, you know, I didn't want to ever be limited to like indie rock or pop rock or whatever you wanted to call it. Just, you know, I wanted to be able to introduce other flavors and like other influences that weren't from that genre. And
I swear we've been here once before, stuck in the woods looking for time. I'm sure. Kissing the girls, tell them goodbye. Let them know you come right back. Yes, you're sure.
This project with Paladura, which is the newest project, Sam Cohen was such a good collaborator because he comes from all of those worlds and loves all those worlds of doo-wop and psychedelia and, you know, different types of world music. And it was a good collaboration in that sense because everything was game. There was nothing off the table.
Yeah. Yeah. I did notice that as soon as you were talking about the Os Mutantes song, I was like, Mutantes. I mean,
there you go.
You know, the first thing I thought was like, well, it sounds like the single to me, which has kind of a traditional mid-century American pop structure and melody.
Mm-hmm.
But the textures surrounding it and the arrangement is not.
Yeah.
Is not at all. I mean, it has a lot of different kind of things coming in.
We were jamming a lot of William Anyabor during that. And he was somebody that was new to me at the time, which was about a year and a half ago. Amazing West African musician who was a successful businessman who ended up buying all these crazy synthesizers in a studio and started making music for 2 years.
Why go to war? Why not find peace? Why go to war? Why not find peace in this war?
I think Benjamin Booker talked about William Onyebor. I remember going to Lukavop.
You know why he did?
What?
Because Benjamin Booker made his newest record with Sam as well.
Really?
Yeah, so we share the same producer. So I am positive that at some point, Sam dropped some William Onyebor on Benjamin.
He's spreading the gospel.
He's spreading the gospel. So this all comes from Sam Cohen.
Yeah.
Yeah, bringing in the Onyebor influence.
That just kind of blew my mind.
Yeah, right. Circuitous.
So between Os Mutantes, William Onyebor, like, you just kind of went into Paladuro with, like, we're going to do whatever it is we need to do.
Yeah, but since there was no record deal at the time in place, and since Gold Beach had kind of changed its dynamic, and this was now turning into a new project, we were just leaving the doors wide open to whatever would happen. And I had started playing the song with this just really heavy downbeat single piano note for Dark in the Glow. And then Sam just started doing this West African William Onyebor inspired guitar track over it. And I was like, that's working great, you know? And by the time they got to the chorus, it felt like a Quincy Jones kind of Michael Jackson chorus. And then we threw some backup singers on it. And then it was just felt just right, you know, but not inside of the box that necessarily any of us had thought about going into it. So, yeah, the doors were open and it was fun. I think when you trust your collaborators, you like what you inherently like what they do and what they add. When you detach yourself from a song and say, I'm not going to treat it so preciously. I'm going to let it do what it does. And I think all those things are really helpful and conducive.
First single, and like, see what I mean? Y'all, there are no rules. You can make whatever you want. And hey, if you want to see Paladuro, they're playing in Austin this Friday, May 26th at Sidewinder, along with Andy Grant and, I'm gonna do my best right here, Zumonchi. And dude, like, my mind is still kind of blown that he and Benjamin Booker have the same producer and both, like, cited William Onyebor, and like, thanks, Sam Cohen, for preaching the gospel of William Onyebor. Like, I feel my life is personally enhanced because I know that his music exists. If you want to hear that interview with Benjamin Booker, then you can go to the podcast app or iTunes or the KUTX website or wherever you get your podcasts and listen to it in our archive. And like, we have a lot of episodes in our archive. We have over 80 episodes where people like Jim James and Tegan and Sarah and Mark Mothersbaugh all talk about songs that changed their lives. And while you're there looking through the archive, like, we would really love it if you left a rating or a review, because ratings and reviews, they help us a lot. Like, they help people find us, but more importantly for us, they make us feel really, really good here at Team This Song. I'll post a link to the Bandcamp page for Paladuro on the show notes page for this episode on the KUTX website. Like, KUTX is the radio station where we make this podcast. You can find it at kutx.org. You can get Dark in the Glow and Surrender for your very own. And Michael did a My KUTX guest DJ spot earlier this year. It's like an hour of him playing his favorite music, and I'll make sure that that's on the show notes page as well. And as always, you'll be able to find a Spotify playlist there, so you can hear all of the songs referenced in this episode all the way through. And that's it. You have come to the end of another episode of This Song. This Song is a production of KUTX 98.9 in Austin, Texas. This episode was produced and edited by David Sanger and me, Elizabeth McQueen. This interview was recorded by me. Taylor Wallace curates our Instagram account, does a great job. Kelly Seal is our excellent intern. And thanks to Deidre Gott and Peter Babb and Todd Callahan for all they do for this podcast. And yes, it is true. Our theme song is Mahout. Mahout by Austin's own Hard Proof. You can follow us on Twitter, Instagram, or Snapchat. Our handle is @thissongktx. You can like us on Facebook, and you can subscribe to This Song along with the other KUTX podcasts, Austin Music Minutes, Liner Notes, and Song of the Day on iTunes. And like I said, we would love a rating or review for our podcast or any of the podcasts. Right on. Thanks for listening. Talk to you next time.